Hey, this is Ali Ciardo, and I'm here with a three-part series. I was kind of thinking about all the questions that I've been getting from people, and I really started to kind of put it together. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to break this down into a three-part series. I'm going to talk about how to shoot like a high-end photographer, but we're going to kind of break it into different sections so that I can help you out. So the first thing that we're going to cover is just how to take better photos. My number one tip for taking better photos when you're actually out there with your clients, shooting. That's where it starts, right? So let's get into the episode.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
All right, about a year ago, just over a year ago, I got my first roll of film and my little Nikon F100 camera. And thanks again to Stephanie Smith and Jonathan Canlis for getting me interested in film. I never thought I would do it, but I'm so glad I did. And the truth is that I don't shoot that much film. I might literally take like 10 film photos in an entire session or wedding day, whatever it might be. But what I've learned from shooting film has completely changed the way that I shoot. And so I want to first start by telling you what I've learned from that. So my number one tip, the number one thing that I think that anyone out there could do today to take better photos is just to slow down. When I started shooting film, I had to slow down because it was manual everything. So I had to get out my light meter and walk up and, you know, take a reading, and then I had to go back and set my settings, and then I had to manually focus, which I'm really terrible at, and it just took a long time. And so what I realized was that I had to take the time, and I kind of would say to clients, like, is it cool if I take some film photos just for fun? It's kind of like a creative thing that I do. And they were always really supportive of that. And as I was taking a lot more time to take the photos, I would just talk them through it. I'd say, okay, this is just going to take me a little bit longer because I have to set this. And now I'm just going to get you where I need you, and I'm going to get this set. Okay, now I'm focusing manually, so it's going to take me just a minute. Just, you know, give me just a minute. So as long as I was communicating with them exactly what I was doing, it wasn't a big deal. They weren't concerned in the least. So I've actually found that that's the number one thing. Slow down and communicate. As long as you're communicating, you're fine. I think that when I started out, I always felt like, oh my gosh, I have to be going so fast. I have to be rushing through this. And I don't even know where that mentality came from. And I get it in some cases, like family photos, you kind of want to get through that quickly if you're a wedding photographer. You know, like if you're doing a whole bunch of group shots of families, you want to get through that quickly. But I also think that slowing down, even if it takes an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but you're nailing every single shot, it's so much more worth it. So, okay, here are the places where you should absolutely be slowing down that I have given others feedback on as I see their photos and things that I've seen in my own. The first one, this is a phrase that I learned in my very first photography class. When I took my first class, I was told by a Nikon D90, just to kind of start out, that was the recommended camera, and then a 50 millimeter lens. And so I remember, you know, this was a 50 millimeter fixed lens. It was my first fixed lens, and everybody in the class was like, well, how do we zoom with this lens? It's a fixed lens. What am I supposed to do? And the instructor took his camera and he walked back 5 feet and he said, zoom with your feet. And it's so true. We need to zoom with our feet. So I used to shoot, I still do, I have a lot for weddings, you know, things change quickly. So I very often will shoot on a 24 to 70 and a 70 to 200. But when I bought last year my 85 1.4, just, you know, fixed prime lens, I was totally not a prime lens shooter. But when I bought this lens, I became obsessed with it. And I realized, you know what, I'm going to zoom with my feet. And so one thing that I see a lot of people do to try to save time is, let's say that you have, especially let's look at family photos. So you have a group, okay, a group setting, whether you're doing portraits, just a family session, or you're doing family photos after a wedding, any kind of group photo where you have multiple people. So I have seen a lot of people who in an attempt to save time, they will, let's say they'll have a 24 to 70 lens on their camera body. So they will put it at 70, let's say, for an up close shot. And then they say, oh, I want to also give you a full body shot. And so they will not move their feet, but they will zoom it out to, let's say, 35 millimeters or even 24 millimeters. Well, what that does is it distorts the image. And so it's not as natural, it's not as flattering to the eye. So ideally, you will either keep it at 70 and back up, or even use, like, you know, now I'm just all about the 85, or the tighter, you know, the better. So ideally, you should always be shooting on a longer lens for portraits. It's just going to look better, and backing up with your feet instead of the first photo being at 70 and the next one being at 24. And you're actually going to see it as you look at that, the distortion makes them look different. You lose that consistency. So you might think, oh, but if I do that, it's going to take extra time and no one's going to want to sit there and continue smiling or continue doing what they're doing while I'm backing up. So I have this, I wouldn't call it a script, it's pretty simple, but just kind of like the thing that I say anytime that I'm shooting family photos or anything really, even just portraits of like a single person or a couple, whatever it is, I do this all the time. As I'm backing up, I'll say, okay, I'm just going to back up so that I can get a different angle. Just stay right there and I'll tell you what to do. So I'll back up as far as I need to. Sometimes I go really far back to where people are laughing at me because I'm so far back, and I just kind of play along and I joke, you know, like, yeah, I know it's really far back, but it's going to make you look so much better because this lens looks so great. So I'm just going to go way back here. As long as you're telling them what you're doing, they're fine. Like, they actually like it because you're communicating, you're telling them, and you're building trust because you're saying, I'm doing this for a reason. I know what I'm doing and I'm going to make you look good. So I like to take portraits with longer lenses. I'm super crazy about this. Like, I do not take portraits at wide angle. When I have my wide angle lens, I really only use it for like scene setting shots or maybe into the reception, like more of the crazy dance floor kind of thing. I really try, unless I'm in a crazy tight space, to avoid it. And I absolutely do not take wide angle shots on when I'm doing portraits. So try to use longer lens and zoom with your feet. The second thing that you can do, and this also relates to slowing down, is taking the time to frame your photos carefully and then shoot less of them. So I probably average, for a portrait session, I think I average like 150-ish photos that I'll take, maybe like 200 photos that I'll take. And, you know, I'll take out things that are blanks and I'll pick the best ones. From a wedding, I've found very consistently I average about 1,200, like 1,000 to 1,200 photos that I'll take for the day. And I'll deliver like 500 to 800. Usually 800 is when I have a second photographer. So really, if I'm shooting my own, it's probably like between 500 and 6 or 650. It's more in that range. So if I have a second photographer, it might be a little bit more. I find that I'm going less for quantity and more for quality. So I'm delivering less. I feel like I'm doing my client service by not overwhelming them with a lot of really similar pictures. I'm really just taking things that are different. Obviously, if I'm taking group portraits and things like that, I'll again communicate and say, hey, I'm going to take a couple more. I just want to make sure all your eyes are open so that I have a great shot. So here I go. And then I will take more, and then I can go through and pick the photo where the eyes are open in those situations. But I'm not, you know, you'll hear a lot of photographers who are, if you're listening to them taking photos, they're very trigger happy. So it's click, 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 click every single time. And I'm very much more deliberate about. So yeah, I'll take a couple, but I'm taking that film mentality now where every single shot costs me money. And I know it's not exactly that, where I'm not literally developing film, but every shot does cost me money because I have to go and cull through that. I have to go and edit that. And so when I take less photos, I have less to cull, I have less to edit. I have less work to do on the individual photos because they're actually pretty ready out of camera, so my editing goes much more quickly. So frame your photo. You know, cropping photos will add so much time to your workflow when you're editing. So rather than taking, you know, 5 photos and they're all just kind of framed a little bit off, take 1 or 2 photos, you know, check to make sure eyes are open and it looks how you want it to look. But frame it perfectly so that you don't have to do a single thing with cropping, because cropping will kill your editing time. It will just completely bog you down. Okay, so 1, zoom with your feet. 2, frame your photos carefully and shoot less. 3, of course, I have to say this one, you have to try to get your settings as as correct as you can in your camera. And I know that sometimes things get crazy and sometimes we feel rushed, but again, slow down as much as you can, communicate to your clients. So I'm always communicating with my clients what I'm doing and they're totally fine to wait. So I use an expo disc as much as I can and I get lazy at times and I always regret it when I get lazy. So an expo disc is to set my white balance. I'll put a link in the show note so you can see exactly what it is, and I get mine on Amazon. So I use an expo disc. You have to put it over your camera and set your white balance, and it just makes such a big difference when my white balance is pretty much all exactly how I want it, or just I only need little tweaks. So obviously, for every lighting setting, you have to set it again. So on Saturday, I just did a wedding and I used it at least 4 times. And by the end, I was like, oh, I have to do it one more time. And I just say, this is like my magic piece. It makes you look amazing. It's going to make your skin look like the perfect tone and everything's going to look exactly how it should. Like, this is my magic piece and it's totally worth the time. So I'll just say, hey, I'm just setting it. Like, I know it looks crazy, but this is what I'm doing. So they know what I'm doing. They know why. And they're fine with it. Of course, they're like, yes, absolutely. Do what you need to do. Make us look good. So use it as often as you can. And then don't stress about changing your settings. If it's going to take you a minute to change your settings, just, again, communicate to them. Hey, I just need to set my settings. I just need to change them because it's really different lighting here. Or if the lighting's changing, I'll just say, hey, you know, I just communicate. If you have to change it, change it. Don't feel like you have to be a magic worker. Like, you're not. And they know that as long as you tell them. And then with that, again, slowing down, when you're looking at locations, don't be afraid to take a step back and look at it before you start shooting and just say, like, I'll say, okay, hang on, I want to get you where I want you, but let me just step back and make sure that this is where I actually want you before I start shooting. Because if you put them there and you start shooting and then you're like, oh, it's not really great, but I already took the time to put them here, so whatever, I'll just do it, which I've been there and I've done that and I usually regret it, because once you take those photos, they're going to expect them, unless you say, maybe I'll take one and I'll say, you know, I'm just not feeling this place. I thought I was going to like it, but the light has changed or it's not looking quite how I wanted it to look, so let's move. And I actually did have this happen, again, on a wedding that I did last Friday. It was a small wedding and they had 50 guests. And so they decided that they wanted to do family photos group photos, basically with everybody, with some combination of group photos, since it was a small number of people. And so the wedding ceremony was in kind of this shaded area and the sun was lower, but it was still high enough in the sky that it wasn't golden hour. And so I started in kind of a shaded area thinking, okay, let's try this here so we don't have to move everybody. It will be a lot easier for them if we go here. And I said, okay, let's just try this right here. Let me see. And I took a sample photo and I looked at it and I said, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not loving what I'm seeing here. It was like spotty light. The light was coming from the wrong direction. It was coming through the trees and kind of creating this green cast. It wasn't what I wanted to deliver to them. And I said, I know this is a pain, but it's going to be worth it. I'm going to move everyone over like 50 or 100 feet over this way. And it's going to be so worth it. And then they were like, yeah, absolutely, no problem. I trust you. And when we moved, it was truly so much better. And I just reinforced that. I took the photos and I said, oh, I'm so glad we moved. That was definitely the right decision. It looks so much better over here. Thank you so much for going with me on this. So don't keep doing something that's not working. Like, take your time, slow down, step back, look at the details, make sure everything looks good. If there's like funky hair going somewhere, doing something, you know, funny, like, take the time to really observe the scene before you start shooting it. So then you don't have to go and try to Photoshop things out later. If there's clutter in the scene, whatever it might be, just really take the time to look at it. Also with locations, if it's lifestyle, so let's say again, wedding, the wedding day, just candid shots, I will take the time as much as I can to kind of clean things up and move clutter over to one side. I will rearrange furniture all the time. So get in there and like, that's part of the job. No one's going to judge you for not shooting 100% of the time that you were there. Part of your job is to help run the day and make it go smoothly, to keep things, you know, to keep them calm, to move, to set the scene for them. So yeah, part of your job is like moving furniture and getting things set. And one way that I set expectations for locations, just so that they know what I'm looking for, is I send out an email. It's part of the bride guide that if you go through my crash course, go to photofieldnotes.com and click on, free video crash course. I talk about this. So I send out a bride guide. One of the emails that I send out is all about how I, actually, this was the last, was it the last one? I think it's the last email that I wrote and added to the series. And it just talks about how I find, how I decide on my locations and what I'm looking for. So, because I used to get a lot of people who would say, what if we took photos over here? Wouldn't that be pretty? And I'd look at it and I'd be like, it is pretty, but the light is coming from the wrong direction. And so once I started to send out this email where I told them, hey, when I'm shooting, this is what I'm looking for, they would totally get it and be like, yes, I understand that that's what you're looking for. So when I say, oh, the lighting over there isn't quite coming from the right direction, they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Or when I say, hey, this isn't quite what I'm looking for in terms of lighting and location, are you okay with moving over there? They're like, yes, I get it. I know what you're looking for in general. So setting expectations and slowing down, like those two things alone will just change. They'll change your life. Such a big deal. And then the last thing that goes with this, and you know, it goes into setting expectations, it goes into slowing down, is creating a timeline ahead of time so that you're giving yourself enough time. So if you do portraits, just set expectations. If your clients think that they're going to go to five different locations and have five different outfits in an hour, obviously that's going to make you feel stressed and you're going to feel rushed and you're not going to be able to slow down and take your time. So really let them know, you know, I expect to take roughly this many pictures in this time or deliver this many photos. You'll probably get to have one outfit or you'll probably get to have two outfits and one location or two, whatever it is, just tell them averages of your ideal scenario so that they know what to expect. With weddings, I write every single timeline, like 99, I feel like, percent of timelines. I actually write the entire thing in terms of at least the photo portion and definitely the portrait portion. So I write that for them. That's another thing. If you go to photofieldnotes.com and you click on shop, you can actually get my wedding day timeline builder. And that also is included in the bride guide autopilot email series. So you can see how I help my couples build their wedding day timelines to work around photography. But whatever it is, you know, you need to take charge of that and help set that timeline and give yourself enough space to slow down so that you can take the photos that you want to be delivering. You should never be taking photos that you're not proud of simply because you don't have enough time to take the photos that you need. If you need time to set this amazing shot and put this couple in this place and back way up to get the scene, or if you like to do off-camera lighting and you want to light it and make it amazing and it's going to take you time to do the shot, give yourself the space to do that and to be creative and give yourself the space to, if it's not working, to be able to communicate to your client, you know what, we need to change something. Let's go ahead and do it. Don't put yourself in a position where you have 3 minutes to take all these pictures and you're like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to zoom with my lens instead of my feet. You know, you have to have the time. So, okay, let's recap. So we've got zoom with your feet, not your lens. That is like my biggest thing ever. I like to shoot tight. I like to zoom with my feet. 2, frame your photos carefully and just take less photos. 3, set your settings. Take the time to set your settings. If you can use an expo disc, I shouldn't say if you can use an expo disc. I should say, unless you're a film photographer, I don't know. Yeah. Unless you're a film photographer, use an expo disc. I use it for all of my outdoor portraits. So I don't necessarily use it inside when I'm in crazy like room to room situations. If I'm using my flash, I will typically set with Kelvins, but anytime you're outside for portraits, use an expo disc. 3, don't be afraid to change something that's not working, especially like locations and taking the time to clean up a location and observe those details. And then 4, give yourself the space by setting expectations with your timeline and making sure your clients know what to expect. So slow down, set expectations. You are going to have such a better chance of getting great photos that way. And that's it. That's it for this week. So I want to hear from you. Let me know if this, you know, if you've taken any of these tips on your next shoot, your next wedding, if they worked for you, if you have any questions, you can always get in touch. I love to hear from you. If you are willing, if you're getting a lot out of this podcast and want to leave me a review, you can go to photofieldnotes.com and find the podcast on iTunes to leave a quick review. If you have suggestions for a show that you'd love to hear about or questions of things that you'd like to hear in future episodes, let me know. And besides that, I will be back next week with part two of Shoot Like a High-End Photographer. And I'm going to talk about everything that's in my bag. So we're really going to get into the lenses and the gear and what I'm using when I'm shooting. All right, that's it. You have a great week and I'll be back next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.